10 a.m. W245 CT Hayward. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. President Biden and Donald Trump have already wrapped up their nominations, but five more states are holding primaries today.
There is no drama over tonight's presidential primary. Both President Biden and former President Trump will win. The only unknown is how many might vote uncommitted or choose another candidate already out of the race. Both candidates have passed their threshold for winning their party's nomination. It is primary day in Connecticut, Delaware, New York, Rhode Island, and Wisconsin. Mississippi holding a Republican runoff to see who will challenge 16-term Democratic incumbent Benny Thompson.
ABC's Andy Field. Facing a Thursday deadline, Donald Trump came up with the cash to post a $175 million appeal bond of New York State's half-billion-dollar business fraud judgment against him. Voters to have the final say on abortion in Florida. That state's Supreme Court cleared the way for a November referendum to determine whether the right to choose will be enshrined in state law. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Donald Trump campaigns in Wisconsin Tuesday night. His national press secretary won't say whether the former president will announce any political endorsements in Green Bay. Caroline Levitt tells WISN-TV's Upfront that Trump will unveil his agenda. Both Trump and President Biden have already clinched their party's nominations. The Wisconsin primary is also Tuesday. Children in Wisconsin from low-income homes will get nutritious food this summer. Wisconsin will take part in the federal Summer Electronic Benefit Transfer Program. Qualifying families will get preloaded debit cards to use to buy groceries.
We've got families with low incomes, most of them working, by the way, but just not able to put that extra meal on the table for kids who are at home during the summer months.
Shelley Fortner is with the Hunger Task Force of La Crosse. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
It's opening day. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers' home opener today, Milwaukee's new right-hand pitcher Jacob Junis against the Twins' Louis Varlin, baseball analyst Tim Dillard on the new Brewers' manager Pat Murphy after sweeping the Mets.
I really loved what Pat Murphy said after the game. And they said, what do you think about the Twins? How are you preparing? Murphy takes about 30 seconds to talk about his family. And I know that doesn't seem like a big deal, but what that does is says, listen, we're going to focus on the team that's coming in, or we're going to play when the time is right. We're not going to sit there and look too far in the future. He's a very moment-to-moment type of manager, and that kind of keeps players loose.
How do the players feel about Pat Murphy? Shortstop Willie Adames.
Yeah, I mean, he's in a pretty good spot. I mean, the whole spring training, he was always, you know, just being confident and just being a good manager, you know, being there for the guys. And I think, you know, I think this was a pretty good series to start the year for him.
That's Brewers shortstop Willie Adames. With sports from American Family Field in Milwaukee, I'm Mike Clemens.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You told me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Tuesday on Nightlight, I welcome author Stacey Ryan and filmmaker Nathan Demming. Great show. It's Nightlight from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
We have some light snow on the way today, tonight, into tomorrow. We're looking at around an inch or less of accumulation by the time it's done. It's also going to get very windy tonight into tomorrow. That could create some blowing snow at times. 42 today, down to 27 tonight, 40. And again, very windy tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk.
And I can just now hear somebody going, it sounds like you guys are supporting public schools. They indoctrinate people. You know what? If they indoctrinate people towards democratic ideals, well, then I guess I'm an indoctrinator. You know, if you're not defending democracy, again, I'm concerned about what you really do support.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hey, this is Aaron from the Todd Allbaugh Show. Next up on the What Makes Wisconsin Great Beer, Cheese, and Radio Tour with Todd and Trick V is UW La Crosse. Join us on Tuesday, noon to 2.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
She's like your older sister, but louder. This is the Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Not exactly the weather you want to greet on the second day of April, especially if you're headed to the Brewers home opener today. Come on in, everybody. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke right here to tell you about it. We'll catch up with Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, for specific details. But today we've got a 100% chance of rain or snow, depending on where you are and what time of day. Will top out around 38 degrees today, and the winds are going to be noticeable out of the north-northeast, about 16 miles an hour. Tomorrow, snow in the forecast, 36 are expected high, again with strong gusting winds. Thursday, morning snow showers will be up to 40 degrees. Friday, partly cloudy and 42. Sunshine returns on Saturday and 50 degrees. But don't get comfortable. That moisture that we've been complaining about not having, back in the forecast next week. Rainfall reporters, if you're on board with me, go ahead and let me know what kind of rainfall you have witnessed in the past 24 hours time or so. Remember, our talk text line is 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Dan down in Caledonia, Illinois, said that he picked up almost a half an inch of rain on the final day of March. Again, go ahead. Let me know what you see in your rain gauge this morning. We're also talking about how this weather is keeping critters seeking shelter in your home and outbuilding. Stephanie Hoff has that story for us. And we're talking with John Heinberg, market advisor, Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, to get you started on the day. Despite the mild weather that we've enjoyed in Wisconsin, that doesn't mean that we should rush to the fields this spring. That's the advice of Dean Ebert. He is one of the Helena Agri representatives from West Bend, and he's suggesting that farmers take this time to make sure they're truly prepared.
We want these herbicides to have the full potential, full advantage of doing the job on the first round. So we're trying to hold guys back right now. We're working on crop plans, making sure their fertility recommendations are in place. We're looking at soil tests. Variable rate seeding recs are coming into play. And right now we're organizing our seed and chem orders. So There's a lot of pre-work. I'm telling farmers, hey, make sure your planters are ready. Make sure your tractors are ready and all that hands-on work to be done on the farm. And let's just give it a little more time to make sure we're in the full stretch of planting.
Dean Ebert, he is one of our Helena Agri representatives in West Bend. You can find out more by going to their website, helenaagri.com.
If you use robotics on your dairy farm, you're invited to an upcoming user group on April 9th hosted by the Division of Extension. I'm Stephanie Hoff from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. The user group is meant to be a networking opportunity for farmers. One of the goals is to develop farmer-led research on how to best use automated milking systems and the data they collect. Associate Dean for Extension, Doug Reinemann, is putting this user group together. He says as robotics become more common on farms, so do questions about how to best use the technology. He's hosted similar events in the past that have been successful.
I used to do these programs for, we had milking parlor user groups, and it was just a good way for people to get together, talk about what their management issues were in their milking parlors, and then we would try to come up with some, you know, solutions to problems and then try them out, do some field trials and get back together and discuss whether or not they worked. So we've got enough robotic milking machines in the state now that it seemed like time to do this for robotic milking.
What are you hearing from the ground up from dairy farmers where they would like to have a networking opportunity like this, maybe to find some solutions or just to kind of idea share with each other?
Yeah, so, you know, my interaction with robotic milking users has been pretty much like one-on-one. So I go to an individual farm, usually have some reason for being there, you know, maybe some specific question or you know, some specific reason. But I just started asking the managers of these units, you know, would something like this be useful? And the answer has been 100% yes. And I think, you know, the thing about robotic milking machines is that there's about 1,000 different dials you can turn. There's so much you can do, and the users are just like overwhelmed with the possibilities. So like, what should I be paying attention to? What data should I be looking at? And if I want to achieve a particular goal, they're like, which one of these dials should I turn? Which one of these buttons should I push? So I think it'll be a chance for people to just share their experience at what's working with them and hopefully learn some new things about the capabilities of the technology.
Data has been something that our dairy groups across the state have emphasized this year during winter meetings. Mm-hmm. Basically, you have this data. How do you use it? Yep. So give me an example of something you hope to get out of these meetings with producers, these networking opportunities.
Well, I think in the broadest sense, I mean, the question that I think is most interesting and important is the question around profitability. So how can I use this machine? Because, you know, the machines are expensive. And so how do you run these machines in a way that that maximizes your profitability? And there's all kinds of questions around that, around, you know, the number of cows you have per robot and how you manage the feeding of this in the systems. And there's a lot of questions around cow behavior, how cows behave, that really influence how efficient the systems are.
If you could give me a ballpark answer on the percentage maybe of Wisconsin dairy farms that use automated milking systems, what would you sum it up to be?
We're probably at around 5%. You know, I think we have 200 or 300 farms easily that are using robotic milking. So we're at somewhere between 5% and 10% right now.
And you said that's been growing. Give us a sense of the rate of growth for automated milking systems.
Well, it has been exponential, but it started at a very low rate, right? So the first robotic milking machine was installed in the state in 2000, the year 2000. So it's been 24 years, and we're, you know, up to, you know, somewhere 300, 400 farms, something like that. But the thing that's really picking up is that larger farms, the size of the installations are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So there's almost like a doubling. The first units that went in were like maybe one robot or two robots. And then it was like four robots or eight robots. And then it was 16 and 32. So, you know, the size of the systems has gotten bigger. So if you look at the growth in cow numbers, it's much bigger than the number of farms. And I think we're at a real tipping point where, you know, I think we're going to see that growth really, really take off, particularly as the larger farms understand what robotic milking can do for them.
So give us a sense of the rundown here when the event is on April 9th. If I decide to register because I want to know what my neighbor's up to with his automated milking system and I want some questions answered and I sign up for the April 9th event, what's the day going to look like?
I'll just sort of start out with just kind of a very broad issue statement. I mean, this is what's going on in the industry, and this is what's showing up in the literature. And then very quickly, we're just going to get into going through a list of management topics and, you know, just explaining a little bit about what this might be. So, for example, milking permissions, right? That's one of those dials you can turn on the robot. So, you know, a little discussion about what milking permissions are, you know, what they can do for you, and then just get feedback from the users. Is that something that they're interested in exploring? You know, right now I have a list of probably 50 management topics, and by the time we get to the day of the program, it'll probably be 100. So, you know, there's a lot of potential, and that's one of the things about robots is there's just a lot of different things that they can do. So, you know, our goal in the first meeting is really to kind of nail down a few of those that we really want to dive into. And then secondarily, we want to just organize the groups, you know, just hear from the folks who show up. Would they like to see, you know, one great big statewide group? Should we break it down geographically? Should we break it down by the type of equipment they're using? Should we maybe break it down by management topics? So there's all different ways that these groups can be formulated. So at the end of the day, we hope to have, you know, sort of identified a few groups. You know, I don't have time to do hundreds of these things, right? But I'm thinking, you know, we might have three or four groups around the state, and you know, they might be organized again around topic or equipment or just geography, and then we'll just dive into you know, the next meeting will be dealing with the topic that they've identified. going into detail and again designing like a field trial that they can try. And then the third meeting would be coming back to say, did it work, right? We did something that we think was helpful, meeting a particular goal. Did it work? And then, you know, it's just an iterative process. Okay, what's the next management topic we want to work on?
Doug, are these field trials entirely farmer-led, or is there going to be extension staff researchers on hand to kind of help out with this process?
Myself and Carolina Pinzone and some of the other folks in the dairy team, one of the things that I can do is just help design the trial, you know, do this on this day, do that on that day. And also I can provide data analysis. And then as far as the actual implementation, some of our county educators or regional dairy educators would be available to go to the farm and actually, you know, make sure that dials are turned right, and you know they need help sort of implementing the protocols. There will be some assistance available there as well.
The Automatic Milking Systems user group meeting is free, but space is limited, so you'll want to register ahead of time through the Division of Extension. You can also get access to stream the meeting online if you cannot be there in person. Again, this is April 9th from 1 to 3:30 p.m. at the Agriculture Center of Excellence in Wausau. Doug Reinemann along with us, Associate Dean of Extension. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Former state senator and majority leader in the state Senate, Dale Schultz.
Legislators aren't doing their job. But what I would ask all the listeners is, have you taken stock in your legislator? Do they really deserve to be there? Do they really want to be there? In a polite way, ask them to come and share a vision, listen to you, and say we want regular communication. And I think if we do that, the system will serve us very well.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Earl Ingram.
Let's talk a little bit about what public education did to move this nation forward and continues to do, even though it's under assault.
The one place where we get to live out and practice what it means to be a citizen in a democratic institution. The attacks on public education are really attacks on democracy.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Tuesday morning on Up North News Radio, Christina Laurie has The Uplift, stories about some of the uplifting people she writes about in our daily newsletter.
Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Buildings. Trisha Werner can tell you all about it. She and her family own and operate Werner Pest and Odor Control. They're in Seymour. She says right now you have to understand bugs, for example. See this weather changing and they've decided they want to stay put in your house.
Warm weather brings a lot of insects out. So you're dealing with anything from spiders to the box cellar bugs that have been hiding in your siding over winter. As far as rodents, you do see activity kind of pick up because they are now looking to reproduce and keep things going. So new this year, one of the things that we've been getting a lot of questions about is the box elder bugs and Asian beetles. With our unusual spring weather we've been dealing with, people have been seeing them come out more already than what they normally would because of the up and down temperatures. Again, that's Tricia Werner from Seymour, owner and operator of Werner Pest and Odor Control. She also notes that there's a lot of critters that are going to be looking at your home or outbuildings to give birth and have their babies, at least get their feet on the ground. She says the best thing there is probably just try to be patient, let them grow up a little bit, and then exit. She said you can trap them if you can't handle them being on the premise. The other thing you got to keep an eye out for, Werner says bats are another issue this spring. The common little brown bat migrating back to Wisconsin, and they typically like to go to their old homes. So be mindful of that. Critters on the move. Man, I tell you, I'd be on the move heading south if I had an option. Stu Muck, ag meteorologist, joining us on a Tuesday morning. Yeah, this is not what people are hoping for over at American Family Park for the Brewers opener. Linda from Reeseville, 0.3 inch of rain. I got an outside of Northeast Fond du Lac. Bill's got 0.3 inch of rain. Greg, 0.5 inch by West Bend. Dan, Caledonia, Illinois, about 0.5 inch. It's rain right now, but it's going to change, huh?
It will be changing, Pam. Yeah, it's rain. There's not a lot on the radar this morning. I guess let's start there. There's some rain in far south central Wisconsin, down into northern and northwest parts of Illinois, eastern Iowa. There's a little snow, just up toward Wisconsin Rapids and further up into far northwest Wisconsin. But as low pressure is indeed going to continue pushing east and northeast out of northern Missouri, we're more likely going to see precipitation get a bit heavier. And that's why the Weather Service has put out all kinds of information, winter storm warnings, winter weather advisories. The winter storm warning lining up from Columbia into Marquette, Green Lake, Fond du Lac County, and continuing north, Washera, Winnebago, Calumet, and Manitowoc County, and all the way up into northeast Wisconsin. The winter weather advisories to the west and south of that. We expect that rain and snow will develop today. It will become more snow as we head on through the day and into the nighttime, and snow will be accumulating. Definitely going to be talking not just about snow, but then strong winds, some blowing and drifting winds gusting up to 35 and 40 miles per hour tonight and into Wednesday, tapering off some toward Thursday. It will slowly dry out for the end of the week. I'll have weather details right after this.
What do you look for in a lending partner? Someone who supports smart decision-making for your farm or ranch, agribusiness, investment, or community. Someone who values relationships. Someone who, when you face adversity, looks you in the eyes and says, "We are here." Find the lending partner you're looking for at Compere Financial. Visit Compere.com to get started today. Compere Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2023, all rights reserved.
If you got to take one for the team, at least look to Bobcat Plus to help you out. Bobcat Plus has been keeping you from the aches and the pains of the tough jobs for years. Bobcat Plus carries new and used Bobcat equipment, and all locations have a full service department, parts, and rentals. They're in Eau Claire, Butler, Appleton, and De Pere, featuring a full lineup of compact wheel and truck loaders, mini excavators, compact tractors, zero-turn mowers, hundreds of hard-working attachments, and so much more. Stop in or visit BobcatPlus.com. Bobcat, one tough animal.
Let me just get that talk text line again into you rainfall reporters. That number, 877-301-FARM, 877-301-3276. Going to get interesting today, Stu. Give us the details.
All right, with the winter storm warnings, winter weather advisories posted, check your area. Be careful. Expect cloudy skies, a breezy day, and some rain in the south. Snow mixing with rain kind of spreading through the state today. Breezy as well. Upper 30s, maybe a 40 or so in western Wisconsin. The north winds gusting to 25. Clouds and snow with some rain mixed in, all snow through the nighttime. And we start to accumulate some overnight, down to the low 30s. The north winds gusting to 30. Tomorrow's the day, yet late tonight into Wednesday, where snow gets heaviest at Columbia County to Beaver Dam, up toward Fond du Lac, up Lake Winnebago, upwards of 4 and 6, maybe some 8-inch amounts in that area. Other places further west and south, a few inches of snow, upper 30s or maybe near 40 tomorrow, and then mostly cloudy, tapering off by Thursday, Pam, low 40s, and then already by Friday, some sun, mid-40s and 50s by the weekend, so it's going to melt off pretty quick.
Yeah, it's that time of year around Wisconsin for sure. Thanks, Stu. Appreciate it.
All right.
Stu Muck, ag meteorologist, with those weather details. And again, I want to remind you, update us as you can on what you're seeing in your neighborhood, be it rain or be it snowflakes. If you're headed to the Brewer game, what are your plans? Use our talk text line and let us know, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. We'll update your rainfall reports when we talk to John Heinberg, market advisor from Total Farm Marketing in West Bend, later.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
For the longest time, it was hard for me to even get out of the house, much less do a backside 180. It took me a bit to understand what was going on, but eventually I learned I had anxiety. Now I'm getting help for it and feeling so much better. Sure, some days are better than others, but the whole thing about getting out of the house, that's not really an issue anymore.
Mental health care is working. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk.
And I can just now hear somebody going, it sounds like you guys are supporting public schools. They indoctrinate people. You know what? If they indoctrinate people towards democratic ideals, well, then I guess I'm an indoctrinator. You know, if you're not defending democracy, again, I'm concerned about what you really do support.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Former state senator and majority leader in the state Senate, Dale Schultz.
Legislators aren't doing their job. But what I would ask all the listeners is, have you taken stock in your legislator? Do they really deserve to be there? Do they really want to be there? In a polite way, ask them to come and share a vision, listen to you, and say we want regular communication. And I think if we do that, the system will serve us very well.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. President Biden and Donald Trump have already wrapped up their nominations, but 5 more states are holding primaries today.
There is no drama over tonight's presidential primary. Both President Biden and former President Trump will win. The only unknown is how many might vote uncommitted or choose another candidate already out of the race. Both candidates have passed their threshold for winning their party's nomination. It is primary day in Connecticut, Delaware, New York, Rhode Island, and Wisconsin. Mississippi holding a Republican runoff to see who will challenge 16-term Democratic incumbent Benny Thompson.
ABC's Andy Field. Facing a Thursday deadline, Donald Trump came up with the cash to post a $175 million appeal bond of New York State's $500 million business fraud judgment against him. Voters to have the final say on abortion in Florida. That state's Supreme Court cleared the way for a November referendum to determine whether the right to choose will be enshrined in state law. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Donald Trump campaigns in Wisconsin Tuesday night. His national press secretary won't say whether the former president will announce any political endorsements in Green Bay. Caroline Levitt tells WISN-TV's Upfront that Trump will unveil his agenda. Both Trump and President Biden have already clinched their party's nominations. The Wisconsin primary is also Tuesday. Children in Wisconsin from low-income homes will get nutritious food this summer. Wisconsin will take part in the federal Summer Electronic Benefit Transfer Program. Qualifying families will get preloaded debit cards to use to buy groceries.
We've got families with low incomes, most of them working, by the way, but just not able to put that extra meal on the table for kids who are at home during the summer months.
Shelley Fortner is with the Hunger Task Force of La Crosse. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
It's opening day. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers' home opener today, Milwaukee's new right-hand pitcher Jacob Junis against the Twins' Louis Varland, baseball analyst Tim Dillard on the new Brewers' manager Pat Murphy after sweeping the Mets.
I really love what Pat Murphy said after the game. And they said, what do you think about the Twins? How are you preparing? Murphy takes about 30 seconds to talk about his family. And I know that doesn't seem like a big deal, but what that does, it says, listen, we're going to focus on the team that's coming in, or we're going to play when the time is right. We're not going to sit there and look too far in the future. He's a very moment-to-moment type of manager, and that kind of keeps players loose.
How do the players feel about Pat Murphy? Shortstop Willy Adames.
Yeah, I mean, he's in a pretty good spot. I mean, the whole spring training, he was always, you know, just being confident and just being a good manager, you know, being there for the guys. And I think, you know, I think this was a pretty good series to start the year for him.
That's Brewers shortstop Willy Adames. With sports from American Family Field in Milwaukee, I'm Mike Clemens.
We have some light snow on the way today, tonight, into tomorrow. We're looking at around an inch or less of accumulation by the time it's done. It's also going to get very windy tonight into tomorrow. That could create some blowing snow at times. 42 today, down to 27 tonight, 40. And again, very windy tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Your forecast for you and your community. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. We love Wisconsin weather and tracking it to keep you updated whenever it changes. Listen for our weather-ready stories so you're always prepared on your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You told me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Let's talk a little bit about what public education did to move this nation forward and continues to do, even though it's under assault.
The one place where we get to live out and practice what it means to be a citizen in a democratic institution. The attacks on public education are really attacks on democracy.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
Former state senator and majority leader in the state Senate, Dale Schultz.
Legislators aren't doing their job. But what I would ask all the listeners is, have you taken stock in your legislator? Do they really deserve to be there? Do they really want to be there? In a polite way, ask them to come and share a vision, listen to you, and say we want regular communication. And I think if we do that, the system will serve us very well.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Just moo it. This is the Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Today we'll be listening in as the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, our state veterinarian, try to give the media a little bit of an update on what's happening with highly pathogenic avian influenza potentially in our dairy herd. Wall Street Journal reporting that a human has now contracted HPAI from working around dairy cattle in Texas. We also know that some of those dairy cattle from Texas made their way to Michigan, and they are finding high path avian influenza in a couple dairy cows there. Now, it's not killing the cows, just makes them sick for a little while, but we need to find out what the scientists know. That listening session coming up today. I'm Pam Yonke, and we'll be part of that listening conversation because we do Wisconsin agriculture. Thanks for joining us. Weather-wise, we're all going to do another bout of winter, it feels like. Today's a perfect example, a 100% chance of rain or snow, depending on where you are, 38 our expected high. Snow tomorrow and 36. Morning snow showers on Thursday, 40 degrees. Partly cloudy on Friday, 42. Sunshine back in the forecast on Saturday, 50 degrees before rain returns. So today is the second day of April. What can I tell you? On this day back in 1792, the U.S. dollar was introduced. The Mint Act of 1792 established the dollar as the U.S. currency. About two-thirds of global trade today is based on the U.S. dollar. Started on this day back in 1792. On this day in 1968, Stanley Kubrick's A Space Odyssey receives its world premiere. 2001, A Space Odyssey. They thought they were thinking so far ahead. It was about human evolution, technology, and extraterrestrial life. Today, it's considered a classic. It was released on this day back in 1968. Happy birthday to Christopher Maloney. He's one of the actors celebrating his 63rd today. And Linda Hunt, actress, little spigot, 79 years young. And now you know. Well, we want you to know that Wisconsin farmers are definitely paying attention to the weather and potentially its impact on spring pollination. One of those, Wayne Stiegelman. He's a Brown County beekeeper, and he says he's keeping an eye on the weather and bee movement. He explains how with Charity Seebecker.
Cows wear Fitbit-like devices that can help farmers to track their health. But now beekeepers are able to do something similar for their bees. I'm Charity Seebecker from the Midwest Farm Report. And Wayne Stiegelman is a happy beekeeper from Brown County that has been using different pollen analysis to not only help his bees, but the farmers around him.
For agriculture in general, I think we're at this inflection point that we just all need to communicate better. You know, we need our farmers to feed the world. You know, they need to control pests and diseases in their crops. So do we as beekeepers. But now I can go to my local farmer and say, you know, hey, my bees are foraging on your soybean fields, which, to be honest with you, if you talk to most beekeepers, they would say, bees don't go on soybean. I don't think they do that. Well, if you look at my pollen analysis, 10% comes from soybeans. So knowing that and knowing that farmers will spray pesticides and different things, I can go to him and we can work together, say, hey, when you are going to spray your crops, can you communicate with me so that that time of the day I will close all my hives so he can do all his application in the morning, and then I could release my bees later on in the afternoon when that pesticide residue kind of dissipates and dries off so the bees aren't in the fields as they're spraying.
That was Wayne Stiegelman, a hobby beekeeper from Brown County. He says when you go to the doctor, they can't just look at you physically and tell you what's wrong. They take your temperature, blood pressure, and do other tests. Now, he can do the same thing for his bees. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
Very cool. Thank you, Charity. And Wayne also tells us that bees are very vulnerable at this time of the year with this erratic weather that we are going to be experiencing. So he's really keeping a close eye on the health of his hive and, in turn, those honeybees. Markets and overnight electronic trade this morning feeling red ink all over the place. Right now, as far as our dairy complex is concerned, yesterday in Chicago, the barrel cheese gained 0.75 cents to 143.5. 40-pound block cheese was up 2 at 143.75. Double A butter up 0.75 cents, 2.85 a pound. As we start off our Tuesday, right now, December corn's down 2 at 4.73. November beans basically unchanged at 11.82. July wheat is down 4 at 5.68. The fluid milk class 3 for May is down 4 at 15.82. June milk closed 4 cents lower at 16.60 a hundredweight. Coming up next, Wisconsin's got a new dean for the School of Veterinary Medicine and the state's largest farm organization disappointed in 2 critical vetoes that stopped some policy movement. Details on that just around the corner, along with John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend.
The Wisconsin Beef Improvement Association is hosting its 67th annual Performance Selected Bull Sale. This is the longest running test in the nation. Be there Saturday, April 6th, starting at 11 a.m. in person at UW-Platteville. Buy a tested bull from the sale ring or your living room at dvauction.com. View the sale catalog, performance and pedigree information, and video of the bulls at wisconsinbeef.com.
I look at this dairy cow, and again, it's the animal that I love. The things that this dairy cow can do and the way that she can produce milk, to me, there is no substitute for milk in the world. And to be able to keep cows and help cows produce that for people, to me, that's a privilege. I'm Dr. Bill Zimmer. Nutrition and microbials, commonly called probiotics. That's BioVet. Learn more at bio-vet.com.
Innovation. That's BioVet.
A doctor from Texas is on his way to Wisconsin to head up the UW School of Veterinary Medicine. Dr. Jonathan Levine is a professor of veterinary neurology and the head of small animal clinical sciences at Texas A&M, where he also served as interim director for the Texas A&M Small Animal Hospital. He had his undergraduate degree in Doctor of Veterinary Medicine from Cornell before completing a small animal rotating internship at Colorado State. He's also completed residency in neurology at both Texas A&M and the University of Missouri. He is focused in largely on taking a look at neurological diseases in dogs, especially those with relevance to human spinal cord injuries and central nervous system tumors. He's also a past president of the American Association of Veterinary Clinicians. Dr. Jonathan Levine on his way to Wisconsin to take over as dean of the School of Veterinary Medicine, effective August 1st. And the state's largest farm organizations are expressing their concern over 2 vetoes that impact policy they wanted to be moved forward. Brad Olson, president of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation, expressed his displeasure at the veto of Assembly Bill 957. The bill was supported by more than 15 agriculture groups in the state, and he says they are extremely disappointed by the veto. The basic policy was designed to try to protect farms from ordinances that individual communities were trying to implement to limit the size of the farms they're allowing in their community. That Assembly Bill 957 has been vetoed, along with Assembly Bill 480, which made some changes to Wisconsin's farmland preservation tax credit and made it a little bit more attractive to get farmers engaged in the process. Jason Mungnaini, who is the executive director of government affairs for the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation, said the bill basically struck middle ground to allow farmers to offset their energy costs while remaining enrolled in the program. They're disappointed it was vetoed. So two bills down at the state capitol. We'll continue to watch what the rebuttal is. Coming up next, no rebuttal. Markets are down this morning, but why and for how long? We turn to John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us next.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Busted Pencils.
Fully leaded education talk.
And I can just now hear somebody going, it sounds like you guys are supporting public schools. They indoctrinate people. You know what? If they indoctrinate people towards democratic ideals, well, then I guess I'm an indoctrinator. You know, if you're not defending democracy, again, I'm concerned about what you really do support.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
For the longest time, it was hard for me to even get out of the house, much less do a backside 180. It took me a bit to understand what was going on, but eventually I learned I had anxiety. Now I'm getting help for it and feeling so much better. Sure, some days are better than others, but the whole thing about getting out of the house, that's not really an issue anymore.
Mental health care is working. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
The Todd Alba Show.
Former state senator and majority leader in the state Senate, Dale Schultz.
Legislators aren't doing their job. But what I would ask all the listeners is, have you taken stock in your legislator? Do they really deserve to be there? Do they really want to be there? In a polite way, ask them to come and share a vision, listen to you, and say we want regular communication. And I think if we do that, the system will serve us very well.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
I want to jumpstart, though, the conversation that's going to be going on today in Wisconsin. Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection having a conference call with media on the highly pathogenic avian influenza detection that we talked about last week in dairy cattle in Texas, then Kansas, then New Mexico. Now there's some in Michigan. That's getting a lot of attention. Tell me how the market views this story. And I do want to remind consumers, this is not an issue for products that you're purchasing, nothing like that. We did have one person that got apparently red eye, something like pink eye, but that's been the extent of it as far as human contact. What's the market saying this morning about that, John?
Yeah, that came out yesterday mid-morning or midday or in terms of that headline in terms of the transmission over to a human that was working with cattle in Texas. And it put some fear into the market in terms of the cattle market for sure. I think the dairy market's kind of already been dealing with it and just can't find any traction as prices continue to slide. But the cattle market responded aggressively yesterday to just that type of fear. And you know, we saw a major sell-off as cattle prices broke down. We've lost 50%. 50% of our rallies since December now in 6 days in the live cattle and the feeder cattle market. It doesn't look like we're quite to a bottom here yet, at least at this time frame. And we see this happen. These are those quote unquote black swan events that can cause a market to just trigger selling. And really, it just gets kind of, you know, out of control as everybody runs for the door in that regard. And that's just a product of our modern trading system with the algorithm traders, computer trade, things of that nature, that, you know, the sell button just gets fired and things just move. You know, again, like you said, to reiterate, you know, from the food standpoint, there's no real concerns here yet at this time frame. But again, sometimes markets move on sentiment and perception. If there is any perception out there that we could see a drop in demand for beef just because of this type of a headline, and a market like the cattle market, which has got a lot of fluff in it, or a high amount of volatility, or historically high price, it was just prime for that sell button to get triggered.
But nothing scientifically motivated these traders. It's just like you said, assumptions.
Very much so. Yeah, and that's one of the problems in the market now, and it makes it hard for the average person or a producer to kind of use the marketplace at times, because, you know, these computers and the algorithm traders, they look in the headlines, they look at the social media accounts, and they trade off of just blips or news events that pop out there. So sometimes you can get a headline, even if it's right or wrong, it'll trigger a move in the marketplace just because of how the programmer set up those machines for the day. And this apparently was on that list, and it just sent things tumbling, you know, again, in a market that's got a lot of value in it. But right now we got this divergence where fundamentals say we don't have cattle out there like we need. We still got good demand. Cash prices are still higher. Now we got June cattle trading almost $15 under the cash market.
So disheartening when you hear something like that. But you're right. Technology. All right. Let's go back to last week, and not necessarily technology, but the prospective planting report, I should say, what we expect. There were some numbers there that just didn't seem to add up, weren't there, John?
Yeah, we get these on this March report, and sometimes, and even the USDA will make it known that this March report is kind of just a dart at the board, even though it is a farmer survey. But, you know, we came out with planted acre numbers, and the biggest one was corn, 90 million acres, or just slightly over 90 million acres. That was down from the USDA outlook form, and trade averages thought about 91.8 million acres. And so that kind of helped out the corn market that day in that regard. Now, we've given most of those gains back here through the end of the day on Thursday, and then yesterday's trade. But the biggest thing is when you started putting the principal acreage together, we're down about 6 million acres, total crop production acres out there. And the question is, where's that at? And, you know, it's account set aside, is it just not accounted for? So that kind of takes Thursday's numbers and just makes it a little bit questionable, because some of those acres will show up again. And more than likely, that'll show up on the June report when we get the planting's numbers and when farmers are producers put those numbers together. And so that's some of the reason maybe the rally was a little bit muted in corn, even though it was a good day, but it was after a pretty rough couple days prior to the report, just kind of got all that value back, is the fact that, you know, 90 million could turn into 92 million in June if the weather's right and planters get rolling and we see good progress.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us live this morning. Again, I remind you, TotalFarmMarketing.com is their website, their toll-free number, 800-334-9779. And then yesterday, we get the first of the growing season crop progress report, John. Not much, obviously, here in Wisconsin to report today or with this weather forecast, likely next week. What did you notice?
Well, the biggest thing about the first numbers is what's it do for the wheat market and where we at with that wheat crop. Last year, you know, wheat crop was in very difficult shape because of the dry weather, 27-28% good to excellent. The first report came out here yesterday, and it was at 57% good to excellent. You know, so that's, like I said, a very significant jump showing that we got a much better winter wheat crop coming this year. That weighed on the market was weighed on that a little bit yesterday before the numbers came out with the anticipation. That's keeping the wheat market a little bit bit in check today. Corn planting, we're at 2% planted nationally. So, again, just getting rolling. It's 1% above average. Texas is a little bit ahead of last year, about 56%. That's where the majority of the corn is planted right now in the country. But, we'll start seeing those numbers start picking up. You're hearing a lot of chatter out there. It's now April. We'll start seeing things happening in the southern part of the Corn Belt. And, obviously, we'll be watching the weather with the moisture that's been forecasted that's coming through. Sounds like conditions are going to be in pretty good shape, maybe even getting a little too wet. So we'll have to kind of watch that going forward. But here comes that lovely time frame where we're going to be watching those planting progress numbers on a week-by-week basis.
Oh, yeah. Hold our breath. Hey, and one other one before I let you go. The bridge collapse in Baltimore, shipping arteries compromised. Does that impact agriculture?
Not too much to an overall extent. The Baltimore Harbor is actually like number 29 in agricultural exports and imports, but it is a machinery hub. There's some machinery that gets moved on the export front there. Some fertilizer does come in through Baltimore. Biggest thing, it just slows the path down. It does add some extra costs into the entire shipping process. That's about the biggest impact that we'll see on the agricultural side, with that tragedy and that accident there in Baltimore.
All right. Good enough, my friend. Tell them how they can email you if they want to have a one-on-one with you, John.
Sure. Love to chat with them anytime. Give me an email at johnh@totalfarmmarketing.com. And don't forget that phone number, 800-334-9779.
There you go. Good enough. All right, my friend, we'll catch up with you next Tuesday. Hang on. It's going to be a wonderful ride with the weather.
Have a good week. Thank you.
John Einberg, market advisor, joining us live this morning from Total Farm Marketing in West Bend. Like you said, totalfarmmarketing.com, their website, or call them 800-334-9779. I think we got just about everything in that bag that we possibly could for you on a Tuesday, okay? Tomorrow, we're going to catch up with our friends from the Steffes Auction Group. It is that time of the year when they are busy, busy, busy. How are prices holding on? We'll talk about that, just one of many things tomorrow.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
After a weather hiccup, U.S. cattle feedlots are now as busy as ever. Up next on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits, like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for Rizol from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Recent reports that cattle numbers in the U.S. are historically low started driving up prices. More recently, though, the U.S. Department of Agriculture says cattle feedlot placements in February were a record high. USDA livestock analyst Mike McConnell.
In January, we actually had a relatively low placement number due to winter storms across the Midwest in early January, which delayed some of those placements. So some of the increase that we saw in placements during February was the fact that we were making up for some of the weather in January.
McConnell is quoting from surveys of the larger feedlots in 16 of the biggest cattle-producing states.
The USDA, in its March Cattle on Feed report, reported that there was 11.8 million head of cattle on March 1st in feedlots over 1,000 head. That's 1% higher than a year ago. And during February, there was 1.89 million cattle placed. That's 10% higher than a year ago. And there were 1.79 million head of cattle marketed from feedlots over 1,000 head. And that was 3% higher than a year ago.
Even though cattle numbers are up, says McConnell,
prices for feeder cattle are also very strong. They're also at historic levels.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Todd Alba Show.
Former state senator and majority leader in the state Senate, Dale Schultz.
Legislators aren't doing their job. But what I would ask all the listeners is, have you taken stock in your legislator? Do they really deserve to be there? Do they really want to be there in a polite way? Ask them to come and share a vision, listen to you, and say we want regular communication. And I think if we do that, the system will serve us very well.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Let's talk a little bit about what public education did to move this nation forward and continues to do, even though it's under assault.
The one place where we get to live out and practice what it means to be a citizen in a democratic institution. The attacks on public education are really attacks on democracy.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And
this is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the